It's a Wednesday morning in the clinic, a busy day for patients to be seen. A child from Ethiopia in a wheelchair, just finishing her appointment, is being guided out by her father. And another patient, a man from East Africa, is getting help from a medical assistant named Azeb Gabridekan.
So this gentleman happened to be speaking Tigrinya, so I have to make sure that he understands the time and the date and where he's supposed to go. Yeah, because without our help, you know, they would be lost.
Like all of the other medical assistants in this clinic, Azeb has her own immigration story. She's from northern Ethiopia, and when civil war broke out, she lost most of her family. She spent 14 days on the back of a camel, escaping to Sudan before coming to the United States. She shares her story with her patients to help calm them down and to build trust.
We are not only MAs, we are also social worker, I would say, or, you know, like giving them instructions or making them feel good. And as soon as we talk like that, they feel like, oh, you guys are, you know, thank God that we saw you. Thank God we have you here, because we feel like, you know, we have somebody who can give us help.
Just down the hall, Dr. Carrie Jackson, the clinic's director, holds a stethoscope to the chest of 84-year-old Ban Kong, who is originally from Cambodia.
Your heart's beating nice and regular and at a reasonable rhythm. Sometimes your heart beats really fast and it's beating slower today.
Dr. Jackson has been taking care of Ban Kong for decades, and yet every conversation these two men have requires the presence of one of the many interpreters Harborview has on staff. Sometimes the interpreter is in person, and other times, like today, they're on the phone.
He said something about he's feeling better than before a little bit.
Good. Is there anything else you think I should know, or do you have any questions for me?
He and I met in 1992, or no, 1990, actually. And we've been together ever since. He's near the end of his life now with bad lung disease. So he certainly taught me about various aspects of COPD and chronic infections in his lungs that we can't treat and how he manages that. And exposures, occupational exposures back home, all this stuff. And I'll always carry him with me.
This clinic takes care of immigrants and refugees with health problems that might require a little more attention than what a community health clinic could offer. Dr. Jackson says to treat this population and to do the work well, everyone here needs to be aware of people's personal histories and the trauma a patient endured.
So, for example, last night I did a lumbar puncture on a patient who's been through an incredible amount of trauma in her life. At one point, it was overwhelming to her, and we had to stop just because she had a panic attack. And as she put it in her language, it all came back. And so often, what we do in medicine as an attempt to help somebody can seem very constraining, confining, and painful, which parallels a lot of what they've been through. And that's where a history of trauma can unintentionally, unwittingly be triggered by an attempt to heal.
And hearing people's stories over all these years and seeing the evidence on their bodies of what other people did to them, what does it make you think about humanity and and how we treat each other?
Yeah. There are a couple ways to look at it, I think. When you travel, most people that go to remote parts of the world that are non-European see a level of poverty and simultaneously a level of joy that they are always struck by. These people are so poor and they're so happy. What's going on here? Right? these families are so functional and they're living on the street in Bombay, what's going on here? And I think that what you realize is that a privileged life with all of its attendant comforts, etc., in a very subtle, seductive way, robs you of your humanity. I'm not trying to make a case at all for the fact that people that have been through all of this stuff have a better life. But what they often do is they find joy in the cracks, and they are survivors. And I think so often when you're constantly thinking that you should have a better life than the one you've got, which is sort of the American malady, that you lose sight of your joy and what you actually have. And so I think what we get every day is a reminder of that. We see people who are grateful for what they have, who know what the alternatives are, who have found mechanisms for survival, who are very generous with us, who show us how to live with a certain amount of elegance and what's the word I'm looking for? Contentment.
Dr. Carrie Jackson has been to many remote corners of the world. When he was a baby, he was in Chile with his parents who were missionaries. In the late 1960s and early 70s, after dropping out of high school and getting a GED, he hitchhiked across Europe, Iran, and into Afghanistan. He did graduate work in anthropology with his wife in central Nepal. He's hunted for medicinal plants with ethnobotanists in Burma and Uganda. His original plan was to have a career in global health, going here, there, and everywhere to help people. And then this job came along. In this back corner of the hospital, the world now comes to him.